Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on our show tonight, Dean Wheeler from the Northern California political action group called Win the Peace will be with us. And he feels the time has come for us to admit Al-Qaeda has won this war, and perhaps, just perhaps, we can offer up Billy Graham as some sort of a sacrificial lamb. Also, Vernon Dozier, who had a slumber party for his daughter, and he made himself an honorary girl for the night. Problem was, he was still dressed in his wife's floor-length negligee and heels when he answered the door the next morning to parents who were picking up their daughters. It's all coming up on our program tonight, 1-800-449-8686, and our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And I think President Bush was the first one. I could be wrong. I think he was the first guy today to use the word murder in relation to the death of Paul Johnson. Everybody else, of course, was calling it a beheading because that kind of gives it a... First of all, I guess there's something sexy about the word beheading, but it also sort of gives it a ritualistic validity, like it's a state execution.
He was beheaded.
Like he deserved it. Like it was justice being carried out. Like it was a sentence. Not what it really was, which was the cold-blooded murder of a man by psychopaths. I mean, that's what that is. I'll give an example. You know how they're sending out videotapes and pictures of all the heads they chop off? That's exactly what Jack the Ripper did, and to the same extent what the Zodiac Killer did. And frankly, any serial killer loves to taunt the police, taunt the authorities, send pictures, send statements. Hey, look what I did today. You know, some of these weirdos set up a crime scene in such a way as to look like a piece of art. You know, they cut off a guy's head, they stick it on the mantle, so that when the cops show up, they are supposedly being given some message. That's what these psychopaths do. And to consider these individuals as some kind of a legitimate political entity, or even an illegitimate political entity, even to call them terrorists, I think, gives them too much credit. Terrorists are people that spread terror. In other words, in a lot of ways, they could be people that use an extremely destructive means to achieve perhaps a legitimate end. But you can't even say that about Al-Qaeda. Like, let's say Hamas, which is a terror organization, let's say that they have some kind of a legitimate end in that they want to achieve a Palestinian homeland, although Hamas wants to destroy Israel, so they're not a good example. I don't know. There are countless groups that have what one could imagine, you know, in one's more charitable moments to be legitimate goals, but their method is destructive and in point of fact will only lead to their ruin, which is the method of terrorism. However, you can't say that about Al-Qaeda. These guys are young men, impoverished. They come from a part of the world that already has a cultural inferiority complex, the Arab world, the result of hundreds of years of still grinding this axe over the Crusades and their eventual defeat at the Pyrenees Mountains at the end of the Moorish invasion. If you don't know what the Moorish invasion was, it's like the whole bunch of Arabs tried to invade Europe as, you know, as a kind of a, I don't know if it was, if it occurred during the Crusades or before, if you could say it's a response to the Crusades, but nonetheless, there was this cataclysmic battle between Europe and the Arab Mohammedists that eventually led to their defeat some 1,000 years ago. So for 1,000 years, the Middle East has had this inferiority complex. And then you put all that kind of psychological dynamic together with a psychopath by the name of Bin Laden who's got father issues. This guy was the son of a father. He had 15 mothers. He probably didn't get enough loving from anybody. And so he, like Manson, like David Koresh, like any cult leader, he manipulates the brains of these guys into thinking they're doing some important work. What they are spree killers. They are thrill killers. They're serial murderers. They're psychopaths. I mean, how many different ways can you put it? And when are we going to, forgive me, but when are we going to pull our heads out of our asses in this country and in Europe and in Canada and around the world and see this thing straight on for what it is? Look, guys, a lot of people say,
if America hadn't been such a bad country, none of this stuff would have happened.
You can be, tell me if I'm wrong about this, you can be the best possible person. Let's say that you're the best citizen, the best father, the best husband, the best son, the best boyfriend, the best girlfriend, the best wife. You're just the paramount individual. You're still likely to get mugged if you walk into the wrong neighborhoods, okay? You're still going to possibly be the victim of like a home invasion robbery. I mean, it doesn't protect you from the reality of the world. And on top of that, it doesn't mean that all the bad stuff goes away if you're just a really solid person. So people want us to believe if America would just act like a really great nation, which if you know, show me a better nation and that we can aspire to that, and we will. I bet this is, unfortunately or fortunately, this is the best that the world, that the human race has to offer right now, the United States of America. I mean, this is as far as we've progressed. It don't get any better than us. Now, we may be a bunch of slobs, and we might be a bunch of jackballs, but it's about as good as it's going to get for the planet Earth in the year 2004. But somehow we're supposed to be a little bit even better than that, so that none of this stuff would have happened. But I'm telling you, you can be an archangel. You can be walking around like you're the freaking Tinkerbell, man, and there's still going to be bad people out there. And you got to deal with them. But we don't want to do that. We're still, you know, we're still wringing our hands, and we're still talking about Bush being the cause of all of it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. However, by the same token, it's entirely believable. It's totally predictable, because the alternative is very scary. The alternative is you got to take a gun, put a bullet in it, and shoot the man. If you got a rabid dog, I only know of one way of dealing with it. You put a bullet in it. I don't know. There's no talking to it. You can't train it. You're not going to give it a kibble bit and go, poochie. You know, what are you going to do? Give it a milk bone? Pet it? Go ahead. Try and pet a rabid dog. Well, you'll get freaking rabies. You know, you put a bullet in the thing. It's the only way we can deal with the situation, folks, is with violence, and more violence than what they're meeting at. We have to meet it head on. And this claptrap about whether Saddam and Al-Qaeda had anything to do with each other is beside the point now, even though they did. I mean, even though we have the words of not just the president, the Bush administration, we have the words of the Clinton administration, but nobody wants to hear that stuff. Because, look, it's tough to, you know, take the hard road, man. Take the option that we have left to us is not fun. We gotta get working on this thing, man. We gotta get up in their faces on this thing. Now, Saudi Arabia is in serious trouble. They got Al-Qaeda there. They are going to try and kill as many foreigners. And by the way, I have to apologize. Yesterday, I actually said, I don't think they're going to kill Mr. Johnson. I don't think that they're stupid. I think that they're people who will be handing us a propaganda tool if they actually kill this man. However, today I realized, what am I, stupid or something? I mean, Henry, the only guy that's stupid here is you. These guys are merciless. These guys aren't going to step back from anything. They're not backing down. They're in it for the whole shoot. They're in it for 100%, man. They are committed. And that makes them a very formidable enemy, because we're not. They're 1,000% in this with both feet and both hands, and we're not. That's why they got us on our heels right now. Because we're doing the very thing that, pardon me, I'm going to sound like your junior college history teacher, we're doing the very thing that Lincoln said we couldn't do to survive as a country. We're infighting. We're wringing our hands. We're blaming each other. We're doing the exact thing that Lincoln said was the only thing that would bring this country down. Well, we're doing it, man. Anyway, did you have a good day today? No, but seriously, other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? No, you know, it sucks. And I feel terrible that I said I didn't think that the guy was going to be killed. The fact is, I should have known better. These guys, not only did they kill him, they photographed it. Did you see the pictures? These pictures were laid out in such a way as to seriously try to piss people off. They want us to get angry. They want to engage us. They want to fight. The only misstep that I think they're making is that a full-on fight with our society, not our country, but our society and the people that I think we can be, can only mean defeat for these individuals. And I don't think they quite get it, because they believe, as the Germans did in the 30s, that America is a soft and decadent country. Now, Germany, you know, they misstepped in the 30s. Who knows? Maybe Al-Qaeda's right. Maybe we are a little soft. Because what's happening is, you know, we got this country that we were going along. Everything was great. We had Starbucks and we, you know, got together and we, you know, made fun of Clinton and we made fun of, you know, everybody. And it was just cool. It was kind of America as we've always known it. Just the place where we sit around and go, ah, what a rotten place. The taxes are too high and the abortion. And we had all of these stupid, self-indulgent and childish concerns. And now we're faced with an actual threat to our very existence. And we don't quite know how to deal with it. We're just sort of standing around on a street corner with our thumb shoved in our ear. And when somebody says, okay, let's charge up the hill, the rest of us go, well, now let's talk about this for a minute. See, we'd never have been in this position, Charlie, if you hadn't bought those chains. I told you to get snow tires, and you're right. Well, why didn't you get snow tires? I didn't get snow tires, you're right. I should have gotten snow, but instead I bought the chain. Well, they broke. All right, well, I can still fix it if you guys will help me. No, I don't want to help you. Well, what are you going to do, stand there and freeze to death? I won't freeze to death. It'll stop snowing sooner or later. And we'd never be in this position if you hadn't decided to drive up to the lake this time of year. There you go. That's America. The land that I love. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler tonight. Convinced in light of the recent murder in Saudi Arabia of Paul Johnson, and let's remember, it was a murder. You want to talk about beheading? Great, super cool. Download the video, whatever you want. Don't legitimize these people by talking as if it's some state execution, some sort of tribal ritual over there in the Middle East that is meted out to the infidel. These guys are psychos. And we also have Vernon Dozier on, who was an honorary girl for a night at his daughter's slumber party. Showed up there at the door to answer the door for the parents who were picking up their daughters in lipstick and high heels. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The other news was that the leader of Al-Qaeda in Saudi Arabia, there's a group called Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, was believed killed in a raid in the capital of Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, hours after his group claimed the beheading of an American engineer, or claimed responsibility. A U.S. official confirmed that Al-Makrin, I guess is this guy's name, has been killed. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitive blah, 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 blah. The killing of Abdulaziz Al-Makrin would be a coup for the Saudi government, which has been under intense pressure, yada, yada, yada. In fact, a Democratic senator, I forget his name, was quoted as saying today, the time has run out for Saudi Arabia. It's run out. Either they show they're serious about getting rid of Al-Qaeda, or we are simply going to pull up stakes and leave. This is what this guy was saying. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by any of that. Like, pull up stakes how? He was talking about cutting off relations. Cutting off diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia. Now, that sounds like a lot of goofy talk, because you have to have diplomatic relations with a country in order to exchange official business. And we've got a whole lot of official business with the Saudis, as well as private. What's that private business again? Oil. What do you put in your car? Oil. What do you put in your Jetta, in your Mercedes, in your Toyota, in your Plymouth? Oil, baby. Here is Christina. Hi, Christina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, ma'am.
Hi, I just had a comment to make as far as the beheadings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You said that they were, you know, they are very cruel people. But at the same time, look at the president that we have in office. These 4 years have been nothing but war for our country. For whatever reason that 9/11 happened, we were looking for bin Laden. Okay, he failed to find bin Laden, so now we're focused on Saddam. We went to these people's country and told them to give up their weapons. We have weapons of mass destruction. Okay, if we didn't, we definitely spent billions of dollars on weapons of mass destruction when our economy was screwed up. You know, I feel like that was a bad financial decision as far as Bush is concerned, but that's a cocaine addict. You know what I mean? Once you do cocaine for a certain amount of years, your mind is distorted. You know, he probably likes the war and the drama because our country has never, you know, really been like this recently. You know, as far as I'm just getting out of high school, you know, and this is the worst I've heard, and this is ridiculous. And then he goes and blows up these people's stuff, and now we have to use our country's taxpayers' money to go build up their country when our country is still distraught. We don't have jobs for people in our country. And then they want to ask us for our Delta Sky Miles to fly our soldiers back to America. I mean, how much sense does that make? But we can spend $6 billion on a bomb.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. I got a new philosophy. I'm going to let everybody, let people say what they want to say, and then I will comment. Don't you think that's fair? Otherwise, I'll be screaming and yelling at people. Obviously, that was a very young lady who, as she said, she admitted she's just out of high school. And she's sort of throwing into the package all of the things that people like to throw into the package. We have all these weapons, and aren't we really worse than all of them out there? And look at all the money we spend on the bomb, and our people don't have jobs. Now, that's an argument that's been going around for, I don't know, how many years. Never mind the fact that when we build bombs, that actually puts people to work. The defense industry in this country has kept a hell of a lot of people off the jobless rolls, as it were. When you talk about government projects, whether it's weapons or space or, let's talk about, say, administering urban and housing development or administering aid to families with dependent children, they're all government jobs. And our tax dollars go to all of them. They employ people. Frankly, our economy got screwed up after 9/11. We were having a tough time, but we were actually rebounding from Greenspan's raising of the interest rates. We were, and that in the year 2000, 99, 2000, that really hurt us, but Greenspan felt the economy was overheating. I still think he's the best Fed guy we ever had. You notice I'm talking all this crap that girl probably doesn't even know what the hell it is I'm saying. But I'm trying to, you know, talk about the economy that you said was bad. The economy got bad after 9/11, real bad. We lost lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of jobs as the result of about a $1 trillion hit on our economy because of the World Trade Center. Nobody that's running for president yet has explained to me satisfactorily how they will keep jobs growing if we suffer another terror attack like the one we suffered. Blowing these people's stuff up, I believe, is what you said about Iraq. We have reason to believe, and still have reason to believe, that Saddam Hussein was in business with Osama bin Laden intermittently throughout the 90s, as evidenced by internal Clinton memoranda as well as Bush administration intelligence. Perhaps we were wrong, but we were working on intelligence that two administrations had. And as the result, we got rid of a man by the name of Saddam Hussein, who was a dictator. So when you say these people's country, it wasn't their country. It belonged to a guy by the name of Saddam Hussein. He told them how to stand, how to sit, when to crap, when to eat, and when to sleep. We're taking their weapons away. We were taking away his weapons, Saddam Hussein's weapons. And to say that President Bush is evil, you haven't made the case. Like these people, you haven't even begun. Nobody has yet even scratched the surface of making a case that President Bush or America is anywhere near as evil as these animals. It's just saying that we're putting money into weapons ain't doing it. You're going to have to come up with something better than that. How was that? Is that good? See, that way I don't argue with the person and then the... All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Always remember that the real answer comes after the word but. That's what the little brown duck told me one day near the pond. He said to me, as he looked up from, I don't know what he was nibbling on, some lily, one of them pads, lily pads. He said, remember that the real answer comes after the word but, Phil. And it was at that moment that I said, I got to stop drinking. I got a duck talking to me? No, the real answer. So when you hear people say, Al-Qaeda is cruel and I really think they're bad, but President Bush is this and that. Just get rid of the whole first part about Al-Qaeda being cruel, because that really, they don't mean that. They do not, any more than anybody means it when they say, for instance, I'm really glad that Saddam Hussein is out of power, but, because that's an obligatory statement designed to somehow finesse you into believing that they're good guys. Well, they're not genuine when they say that they really, if anybody says to you, I'm glad Saddam Hussein's out of power, but they're not genuine in saying that they're glad Saddam Hussein's out of power. They're just not. They're saying it to sort of disarm the moment. I really think Al-Qaeda is terrible, but President Bush is just as evil. Okay, you just take that first part. I really think Al-Qaeda is cruel. You just take it out of the phrase because they don't mean it. Their real reason for even engaging you in conversation is to say President Bush is a piece of crap. That's what they want to say. Now, why would they say that? Why would somebody say that Bush is as evil as Al-Qaeda? Lack of education is one. Lack of information, and there's two different things. Lack of education, lack of information are two distinctly different things. Lack of education, definitely lack of information. Lack of education means you got no historical perspective. Lack of information means you have no knowledge of current events. Also, you got to be completely unconscious to your environment, or you are very taken aback by the events, and you're frightened. You're just frightened. And it's easy to talk about the president because he ain't going to come and cut your head off. You know it as well as I do. I mean, we talk about, you know, we love to engage. As Americans, we always love to engage in this nebulous conversation about the evil of America. Well, the fact of the matter is no one's cutting our freaking head off. No one's taking us hostage. Nobody in the U.S. government is taking us hostage and hacking our head off. And I don't care how many cats on Art Bell says it happened to them, even though they had their head cut off, their guests on Art's show. Tell me how that works. Art, I don't get it, man. How can a guy that got beheaded talk to you? Later on tonight, by the way, we'll have Jeff Dowder on to talk about how he was beheaded by Al-Qaeda and what that experience was about. That's all later tonight on Nightline. So, you know, Bush is like an American president faced with some very, very hard decisions, and he probably doesn't make the greatest decisions all the time, and he probably makes a lot of people angry because, hey, look, when a guy says, we're going to have to get in there, and we're going to get dirty, man, but we got to do this. Ah, it's like when I was a kid, you know, my dad would say, you got to get out there and clean that garbage can out. Ah, I got to get dirty, and I'm going to smell, and we're just like a bunch of kids that don't want to get dirty, and we don't want to smell. Because it's going to be hard. Now, the United States, I've often said, we're like the adult on the block. We have to behave humanely, and all the other countries get to behave whichever way they want to behave. So, you know, a lot of times I ask myself, how come the world talks about the power that we have when, in point of fact, they gave it to us? I mean, they gave it to us. We didn't take it. They gave it over to us. America, help us. I mean, I use the example of Canada as a classic example. They sit up there like the children that they are and complain about America's foreign policy and all of the politically correct things you'd expect them to say. But in point of fact, they haven't spent nickel one on their own defense. Why? Daddy's going to take care of it. Daddy's down there south of the border. He's going to take care of everything. Right? Well, I'm here to tell you, we get to act like everybody else, which is we're human. And if we want to go out and kick some ass, we're going to do it. If we're going to go, we want to go cut some heads off, we're going to do that too. And if it scares the hell out of the rest of the world, you know what I say? Good. Oh, great. I hope we scare them until they're peeing their pants. And they scream and they yell, man. Here's something to know about. Remember when I was talking about psychopaths? Every cop knows this about a psychopath. He is an individual without conscience. The way he feels power is, the way he feels is by getting power. When you take that power away from him, he gets angry. When you get a psychopath in a police interrogation room and you tell him, okay, man, the game is up. You have no more control over anything. You're not going to go out and kill anybody. The first thing to do is get really pissed. I'll bet you money that Scott Peterson went nuts at one point in a police interrogation room, at least once, when he realized that he was found out. Then what they do is they settle into kind of a calm acceptance and they try to manipulate that situation. Now, what do you suppose happened to Al-Qaeda when we went after them with just as much viciousness as they came after us on September the 11th? They got mad. They weren't controlling the game anymore, baby. It was a different world, man. I mean, it wasn't the 90s anymore. They weren't able to hit the World Trade Center and we complained to the UN. Hit the coal, and we'd complain to the UN, and maybe we'd try to do a missile strike here or there, but we have to make darn sure that, you know, they hit the embassies. They murdered Americans by the bushels in the 90s, and our response was, and I'm not saying it was wrong, it was the response of the times. Well, let's just handle this through official channels. And they're having themselves a ball. I mean, they're just loving life. It was a great time for Al-Qaeda. Then 9/11 hits. Why not go for the big one? You see how America responds to the rest of these. Let's go after the big baby. Boom! World Trade Center. Now what do you suppose happened? Well, we had a decidedly different response. We went over and we, how did that young lady put it? We messed up their stuff. And they did what every psychopath does. They got mad. They no longer control the game. They no longer control the game. Well, I say that figuratively. I have no idea whether they control the game or not. Because I'm looking around me today here in this country, the United States of America, at a populace of people who are frozen in time. The American people, I love them, they're my people, but we are just standing locked still. We don't know what to do. We're afraid of the future because it's a violent one. It's one that we cannot avoid. We think we can, but we can't. We think we can actually avoid the inevitable. The violence of the future that we have to deal with. It doesn't have to be here. We don't deal with it. It will be. But we don't want to deal with that. But we can't go back to September the 10th. We can't go back to those halcyon days of our youth when everything was about shark bites off the Florida coast and Chandra Levy. Those days are gone forever. So what do? We do what most people do who are afraid. We keep circling. We just keep walking in circles. That's what we're doing in this country right now. And meanwhile, the enemy that we fight knows exactly what he's doing, knows exactly how to fight his war, and is carrying out things magnificently. He's moving along swimmingly. Thank you very much. All right, so I don't know what to say about it. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, and frankly, I am getting a little nauseous from it. Or maybe it was the Starbucks I just had. Probably both. Here's a little bit of news. Before cheering troops, President Bush got a strong endorsement on Iraq and a boost for his re-election campaign Friday from Senator John McCain. McCain offered dire warnings about the threat from terrorists and from Saddam Hussein, words that matched the starkest language Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney have employed. So McCain was actually being courted by John Kerry, as you know, and in point of fact has been one of the more progressive Republicans. But when push comes to shove, when the rubber hits the road, sweetheart, McCain's on board. Check that out. See if it don't come out the same. Bush sat behind McCain on a stage erected at an aircraft hangar, basking in the endorsement from his, well, you know how it goes. So that's one down for Bush. Kerry just lost one. Now, the latest polls show that Kerry is still leading because, let me see, how did those polls go? John Kerry would be a better president, but President Bush would protect us from terrorists better. Okay, that's great. That's what I'm talking about when I say walking in circles. 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Coming up tonight, a fascinating interview with Dean Wheeler from Win With Peace, a, quote, Northern California political action group, end quote, that believes Al-Qaeda has won the war, and that we need to begin to see what it is they want so they will stop inflicting their violence on us. His idea is to offer up Billy Graham as a sacrificial beheadment. Also, Vernon Dozier, who was an honorary girl at his daughter's slumber party, complete with high heels, makeup, and a negligee. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
In other news, Phil Jackson's quit the Lakers. Apparently, he, you know, they say he's quit the Lakers, but you know and I know that they told him, apparently, according to the news today, I read that they wanted him out of there because they want to re-sign Kobe. Hey, Lakers, I don't know what to tell you. You know, Kobe, you know, being on the team is a good idea, but he might be playing basketball, in the words of Denzel Washington, in Pelican Bay. If he doesn't get clear of this rapid Colorado. The Zen Master, according to, what is this, AP, is done coaching the Los Angeles Lakers, and his two biggest stars could be leaving the team too. Phil Jackson, one of the most successful coaches in NBA history, will not return as coach of the Lakers. I wonder why. They really need Kobe that bad, huh? What makes you think, Bus, that just because you get rid of the coach that Kobe doesn't like, that the next one you hire, he's going to... And what makes you think because Kobe gets along with a new coach that, you know, things are going to happen to your liking, like as in win an NBA championship? Maybe you're saving the money. I don't know what the hell you're thinking. You know, I didn't like the hire of Phil Jackson because I didn't like the idea of hired guns. I never have liked free agent mentality. It's never been... You know, I'm old school when it comes to sports. I'm a farm system guy. I'm an organization guy. I like teams that build from within and all of that baloney. I love the fact that Jerry West was a player, then a coach, then was in the front office, and turned out to be one of the greatest executives the NBA has ever seen, as well as one of the greatest players. So when they went out, they hired Jackson, you know, and they went out and they got Kareem, and they went out and they got Wilt, too. None of that stuff actually is something I'm a fan of, but hey, I'll take the results, the championships, they're great. But now he's going to get rid of Jackson, and I don't know who he's going to hire, and I'm sure that there's somebody out there waiting to assume the mantle of great coach, but he's sacrificing Jackson to keep Kobe Bryant. Now, he's a great, great player. There's no doubt about it. I guess he puts a lot of people in the seats. I don't know if it's worth giving up a good coach to keep a great player who may be playing basketball in Pelican Bay. That's all I'm saying. He might be dribbling the ball with one of those ski caps on like Jack Nicholson in Cuckoo's Nest with the foghorn. All right. Leisure time's over. Everybody get in the block. I know what's going on with Kobe. I swear to God, I think that attorney is going to make him cop a play. I swear, that's what my feeling is. But you know me, I am like 0 for 10 predicting things. I didn't think the Lakers would get out of the Western Conference. They did. I didn't think they were going to cut this guy's head off. They did. What is the other thing I didn't think they were going to do? Oh, yeah, Kobe's going to cop a plea. He probably won't. He'll probably go to trial on this thing and battle down to the bitter end, and then a very sympathetic jury will let him go, and she'll be a slut, and, you know, we'll all cheer and dance in the streets. And, you know, and the good guys don't win. Well, how do you know Kobe's not a good guy, Phil? You don't know if he's guilty or not. Well, you're right. No, you're right. He's a sweetheart, man. Team source told the AP on condition of anonymity that O'Neal had requested a trade. Now, O'Neal is what, about 104? He ain't young anymore, is he? He was a rookie in 93 or 92. I don't know when the hell he came into the league, but the cat's up in his 30s now. Now, centers play for a long time. It's no doubt about that. But what's the whole trip with, like, leaving L.A.? Is it because, without Jackson, is it that O'Neal can't stomach the media attention? Is it the fact that he applied for the L.A. County Sheriff and they told him he was too short? What is it? Bus offered Jackson another position with the organization, which Jackson will decide whether to accept in the near future. Jackson said, I really appreciate the offer from Mr. Bus, he said. Excuse me. But waxing his car is not my idea. Well, I don't want to go on with it. The experience of the past 5 years has sucked, Jackson said. Three rings and a fourth opportunity still doesn't make this a really good experience. And Jeannie Buss, oh my God, the breath on that woman, he said as he walked out of the locker room. Jackson's departure was expected even before he met with Buss, following the coach's participation in season-ending interviews with several players earlier in the day. You know, when the guy's got to get the talks with the players out of the way before he talks to you, you know you're dead meat. Yeah, I'll be with you in a minute. Hey, Kobe! You know, I'll tell you something. I've been fired 5 times in my career. And I only in the last gig that I finally figured out, when a guy calls you up and he says, can you come in? I'd like to talk to you. Only in the last one, he said, no, I ain't coming in. I know what you're going to fire me, right? Well, I thought I'd explain to you why. Look, take your job and jam it. Let me just give you guys a word of advice. If they call you up and ask you to come in and you know you're going to be fired, you don't have to go in. Just tell you can fire me on the phone. What do I got to go in for? Well, we need your key. You know, we need your... Yeah, okay, I'll put it in the envelope and I'll mail it to you. I'm going to get in my car, drive all the way into work so I can sit there and have you feel good about yourself as you fire me and explain to me why. What? Jackson, I know you want to stay on good terms with Buss. What, has he got really good quaaludes? No. Well, he is a chemist. Just go back up to Montana or Alaska or whatever that place is that you go up and sit and stare at the sunset and do your Zen crap and don't bother us anymore. Go up there with Jeannie and watch the sunset as you try to fit yourself into a hot tub. You in a hot tub. Hoo-hoo! I gotta see that. What's that look like? The guy's sucking on his kneecaps. Is there any room for Jeannie in there, man? You did a great job, Phil. Championships, I mean, what more could we ask? You know, everybody, there was a riot downtown L.A., and, you know, Shaq and Kobe and Kobe and Shaq and Shaq and Kobe and Kobe and Shaq and Fox. And Kobe and Shaq and Shaq and Kobe. The best thing about Rick Fox is Vanessa Williams. Thank you very much. Are you kidding me or what? Get so tired of looking at that guy's chiseled movie star features and that gorgeous hair. I don't know whether I want to kiss him, beat him up, or make love to his wife. Just kidding around, Rick, as you know. So that's the end of the dynasty here in Los Angeles there with the Los Angeles Lakers. Shaq wants out. He wants to be traded to someplace a little bit more glamorous. He wants back in Orlando is what he wants. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler is next. Convinced in light of the recent murder in Saudi Arabia of Paul Johnson, Al-Qaeda has got us. We are defeated. Vernon Dozier is going to be on later. An honorary girl for the night at his daughter's slumber party. We'll find out what that was all about. Grab a copy of the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. You can get it online at www.philhenryshow.com or by calling 877-616-7445. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
A Northern California political action coalition called Win the Peace. They are a group dedicated to, in the words of their website, bringing sanity to American foreign policy. The director, Dean Wheeler, joins us. And I have to add, and first of all, good evening, Mr. Wheeler.
Good evening, Phil.
What do you make of today's news about Paul Johnson?
Well, I think that Al-Qaeda, for all intents and purposes, has won this war.
You do?
I do, and the American people know this. You can look at the polls. President Bush's numbers are dropping. John Kerry's are on the rise. And so with today's news that Mr. Johnson was very tragically beheaded, we now have to get Al-Qaeda to the table. What do they want? If we can get them to the table and we can give them what they want, the war has not... it can still work in our favor, but the war with Al-Qaeda is lost.
And what do you mean, find out what they want? I mentioned last hour that they're a band of psychopaths.
Well, they are a group of people, like any group of people, who have demands. So if we can find out what they are and stop this horror of images that show Americans being shot and beheaded, it's obviously frightening times we're living in. We have to slow this machine down. Al Qaeda is a machine that looks for vengeance because of all the things we've done. It's like a shredding machine. We need to get ahead of it and slow it down.
Well, I understand your concerns, and I also understand what sounds very clearly to me, as I mentioned last hour, fear.
And well, yeah, it is fear. But I don't understand your lack of acceptance that Al-Qaeda's gotten us, and we are up against the wall with a bayonet in our chest, and we are still... They just cut a man's head off and put it on his... I saw that. If you saw the photos... And
yes, sir, I did see the photos. I did see them. I know also that your group has put together... And I understand your fear.
Well, if you understand my fear, then you understand that the American people are afraid tonight, and we have to get Al-Qaeda to the table. Now... the Mill Valley letter that we have written, and...
I wanted to reference that. You have addressed a letter that you call the Mill Valley letter to Al-Qaeda. Can you tell me the contents?
I cannot give you the content. I can give you the essential message in the letter, yes. And today, Al-Qaeda releases a statement blaming the beheadment on Christians. They referred to...
Where did you see that?
It was on their website. They referred to the cross believers on their website. See, it's all about the Christians, and this is the first time we got an inkling of what they wanted. And I had been saying to friends of mine, I was saying, if only they'd tell us, please, please, please let them tell us. Finally today they did.
Then can I just interrupt you? You sound as if you are in the throes of a panic.
I am not panicking. I'm saying today was actually a good day when they told us that the Christian and the cross believers are the people they... Now, we've been waiting for them to tell us, because if only they'd tell us, we might work on making amends.
Well, what is the essential meaning of the Mill Valley letter?
The Mill Valley letter is a message from an enlightened group of Americans. We all live in the San Francisco Bay Area, an area that is noted for its progressive thinking. And we have told Al-Qaeda, we hear their message about Christians. Christians have caused problems, not only in their country, but in our country. And we are in solidarity that Christians... do a lot of stuff that they, you know, that's bad.
But indicting an entire religion, all right?
Well, look, Al-Qaeda makes a very good point. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the efforts to convert Muslims to Christianity. Obviously, this has been hurtful to the Arab people.
But indicting an entire religion, you're dealing with a big community.
But the Christian community has proselytized and preached us right into a war with the Arab people. And they mentioned the cross believers. They took note of the cross as an act of good faith because, again, Phil, remember, when you lose a war, as we have lost to Al-Qaeda, you need to make reparations. And a symbol of Christian dominance and hegemony, in my opinion, is what they need.
Well, when you talk about a symbol of Christian dominance and hegemony, I don't think there is one other than Jesus.
Oh, I think we have a great many.
No, I think that Jesus is Jesus is dead. As a matter of fact, he sacrificed himself.
No, I think we have many.
Give me one.
I think we have today in the United States the Trinity Broadcasting Network that is run by Paul and Jan Crouch. Jan Crouch is a very visible symbol. And she also is a very flamboyant person. She has a hairdo that's, and I'm just saying, if we offered them... Jan Crouch or something like that to...
We offer them Jan Crouch to do what? To behead?
Well, if it's beheadings that they're interested, I don't want her to be beheaded, but she's got an interesting head and...
Are you... Okay, look, I'm going to give her a number out.
I'm saying that the essential message of Al-Qaeda is Christianity is what they've got a problem with, and Billy Graham is another that we... I'm thinking of the shows they have on Benny Hinn. If we can offer them, in the letter we mention, will you take Benny Hinn? I don't know, but we offer...
Will you take Benny Hinn?
Yes.
1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, and I'm talking here with Mr. Dean Wheeler from the political action group called Win the Peace. that today the website, one of the Al-Qaeda websites mentioned the cross believers, the Christians this, the Christian that. So you think that really their problem is with the Christian faith?
No, I think it's the hegemony of a lot of Christians. Jan Crouch may not be a very good example, but I'm symbolically saying, what if we offered them up, Ernest Ainslie or someone, to...
Do they even know who Ernest Ainslie is, or Benny Hinn, or any of these guys?
I think that the Trinity Broadcasting Network is very prominent. Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, I do.
So in your letter, you would say, we will give you Benny Hinn.
No, I don't say, I'm saying some symbol of Christian hegemony and influence and dominance. And I'm using to you an example.
All right, you use Jan Crouch, Benny Hinn, and Billy Graham, that they could have Benny Hinn's head, or that...
Well, I certainly, Mr. Hinn, would...
Would you have to ask Benny Hinn about this first? Look, it's very difficult, sir, to take you seriously.
It's very difficult to think clearly when the American people have been defeated in this war. I don't know what they would do with Benny Hinn or Jan Crouch. I seriously doubt that they would perform a beheadment. But by giving them Ms. Crouch or Mr. Ainslie, it would, might go a long way towards showing them we can shed ourselves of our Christian arrogance. But that's what Al-Qaeda hates.
Mr. Wheeler, Benny Hinn, Billy Graham, Jan Crouch, these are not people that I would consider symbols of evil. These are people who are devout Christians, in their own minds at least, and perhaps they are in fact, and they have a TV network. And if Al-Qaeda believes that Christianity is evil, and you offer them up, that you don't want her to be beheaded, I understand, but you offer up Jan Crouch, and the other thing... Well, but the other thing is, Benny, how do you say to Al-Qaeda, these guys that live in caves, these guys that are impoverished men who are being manipulated by psychopaths, how do you say to them, we are offering you Benny Hinn?
Well, you say we're offering you Benny, like you don't think they know who he is, but they do monitor American broadcasts. And the other gentleman, Jack Van Impe, is another individual who's... I'm not saying behead anybody, but I'm saying if they... need a symbol of a beheadment.
And I don't think that's a word either, beheadment.
I'm sorry, but a beheading.
And I don't think beheading, what I'm saying is, you're talking about symbolic heads?
Symbolic. Jan Crouch obviously has a very distinctive hairdo. Ernest Ainslie, the joke about him with, you know, barely has a neck and that kind of thing. Give them someone who has a flamboyant-looking head. And
you know, a lot of what you're saying sounds like it's a joke, right?
I understand that, but I'm deadly serious in saying the American people are at risk.
Yeah, but when you're saying give them Jan Crouch because she's got a flamboyant head, or give them Ernest Ainslie because he might not have a neck, how do we think, do you think they're going to take you seriously?
Well, I'll tell you who, we better take them seriously because they just cut a guy's head off today, and I saw the photographs on the website of www.drudgereport.com, which is where they're where they are, and
I think that saying Christians, if I can just jump in, are the reason why Al Qaeda is doing what it's doing, is perhaps, it sounds to me like you're bashing a religion.
There is no doubt that Al Qaeda referred to Mr. Johnson as the Christian, and that he was a cross believer. Al Qaeda has a problem with Christians, and they obviously mean business. And if I said offer them Jan Crouch's head, I don't mean for them to cut it off.
They could kidnap her and just have her head.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to do is treat this as seriously as I can.
Well, I don't understand why you would offer up someone to be a hostage because they've got a flamboyant-looking head, unless you want them to cut the guy's head off.
I was making a joke about her having a flamboyant head. Billy Graham, he's not even a very attractive man. I'm just making a point about the
prominent Christians.
Yes.
What about the Pope?
He's not an American. I'm talking about, we have an entire nation in danger. Please understand what I'm saying. Prominent Christians...
What about Cardinal Mahoney here in L.A.? What about...
I don't know. I'm talking about somebody who's... I saw a gentleman on the other night who was running around the state. I don't know who he is.
Well, there's a lot of guys. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, Mr. Wheeler is on with us. I really believe that he is. He said that Al Qaeda's beaten us, and that he speaks for a lot of Americans. And so, because Al Qaeda hates Christians, and apparently they do, because they referred to Mr. Johnson, the man they murdered today, as a Christian. They referred to him as a cross believer. That some sort of symbolic offering up of a Christian leader. He mentioned Jan Crouch, Benny Hinn, and Billy Graham might be a step in the right direction toward healing rifts with Al Qaeda. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I know women that will forgive cheating by a man for a short stack of pancakes.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler joins me from the Northern California Political Action Coalition called Win the Peace. You identify yourself as being from Northern California, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you're proud of that?
Well, of course I am, Phil. We are an enlightened people up here.
Well, you're talking about Al Qaeda's won the war and you want to give them Benny Hinn. And
all I'm saying is Americans have finally realized that this is serious. Did you see the picture of the man's head? And it was sitting on top of his body. I've never seen anything like that before.
And again, Mr. Wheeler, you sound scared.
Well, of course I'm scared. All Americans are scared. Across America today, and forgive me, please forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, there is a puddle of urine forming underneath every American that threatens to swamp the entire country. I don't know if you saw Deep Impact. When the meteor hits, the ocean literally subsumes the continent. We are being threatened with the same tidal wave of pee. And forgive me, but I'm putting it in a way that because
Americans are so scared, we're going to drown in our own
the pee. Yes.
1-800-449-8686. I don't share your sentiment, sir.
Well, I don't think you're being honest.
Well, I'm being honest. I don't share your sentiment.
Well, I think I know when Americans are afraid. You can't see a guy's head get cut off and not go, damn, that hurt. That's got to hurt.
Here is Barbara. 1-800-449-8686. Barbara, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
My comment is the fact that we haven't lost anything, and the Americans are not as afraid. I mean, we do have a fear, but we're not as afraid.
Are you kidding? Did you see the head get cut off?
Yes, I did. And the fact is that if we let this go on, we are going to have the Muslims take over our country.
Are you a Christian?
What I am doesn't matter.
But I think that's the problem. These Christians made Al Qaeda. I think they went around the bend.
Al Qaeda is going to do what they're going to do anyhow. They are
exactly.
Vicious, murderous
right.
People. They yeah. Don't have the same kind of respect for life that we do. They don't care if they live or die.
But they opened up a satellite channel out of Qatar and out of the United Arab Emirates that was beginning to broadcast the Christian evangelists. And the Benny Hinn program aired there. I think
they're doing the Muslim call to prayer here, and my grandson can't even say Merry Christmas in school. What are you talking about?
What? What are you talking about?
Here in our country.
I'm telling you that Benny Hinn sent them around the bend.
They're also in our country. You're not understanding.
That's a really good point, Barbara. You can't say Merry Christmas, but these cats want to have that Muslim prayer getting piped through the...
I think it's a wonderful idea to have them call to prayer, yes.
Are you a Christian?
Oh,
or you don't believe in God at all?
I was, but I found out that Al-Qaeda doesn't like us, and I quit.
So you're just going to curl up in a little ball and go off in a corner and just pee in your pants?
Ma'am, I don't know where you're calling from, but most Americans feel as I do.
No, you're wrong.
We are ready.
Most Americans do not feel as you do. We are a strong country. We are,
well,
regardless of what's going on in our government, we are a united country, and we are not going to let this go on.
Can I ask you a question that I think is a fair question to ask? If it would save the world from a horrible war of terror, wouldn't you rather see Benny Hinn's head on a pillow with a knife resting against
it? I don't even want to hear that.
Oh, my God.
I don't even want to hear that.
Phil, I'm sorry. I have to go. This man is sick.
No, ma'am. What I am is an American trying to keep from being...
You say that your organization is what? Win the Peace?
It's called Win the Peace.
And you're talking about putting Benny Hinn's head on a platter?
Well, ma'am,
you're advocating the same thing that they are.
Absolutely.
No. I'm just saying.
Yes, you are.
I'm saying in an imperfect world, which would you rather have, terror or Benny Hinn's head on a dish?
I'd rather have something we can fight.
Something
we can win.
Yeah. These ridiculous hypothetical questions. How about this? Here's my option. How about if we win this war on terror, we make friends of the Arab people, and we continue our progress into the future?
Barbara, Win the Peace is a Northern California organization. I hope you'll consider being a member.
Oh, no way.
I don't think so.
Are you speaking for her, Mr. Hendry?
No, I didn't mean to speak for you, Barbara, but I...
That's quite all right. There's no way I would join something like that.
Right,
I believe in this country.
Barbara,
I believe in the strength of this country.
Thank you very much, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686.
I resent the form that you're presenting, Mr. Hendry, where you get the last word.
And when you're talking about Benny Hinn's head on a dish, yeah, I'll get the last word, sir. Here is Charles. Go ahead, Charles. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I wanted to just say to your guest that trying to offer up Benny Hinn or Jan Crouch or any one of those Christians to those people over there is not going to do one bit of good. And the reason why is because it's ingrained in them, it's taught in them. I've worked in the Middle East. I went over there two times. I just got back in December.
Did you go over to where Al-Qaeda is?
Those people over there, it's ingrained in them. And they do what they do. Yes, they have a hatred for us, but they have a severe hatred for Christians and Jews all together. It's taught to them in the Quran. Muhammad wrote that in the Quran himself when he wrote it.
Did he?
Have you ever read the Quran?
What page is it on? Because I'm not...
I've read articles on it. I don't have it with me right now, but I've got copies.
Well, what chapter is it?
The Quran doesn't have
chapters. I don't remember. I don't have it with me, but I have read some of it, and I guarantee you, those people are misguided.
Can I ask you, Charles?
What I learned about those people over there, those people respect power and strength. They don't respect weakness. When they see a weakness in you, they use it against you.
But they've already beaten us. There's two heads that are...
No, you know why they're beating us? They're beating us because we're too stupid to deal with them in the way we should deal with them.
Can you get the gist of the Quran by reading the Just Jacket?
You go over there and you kick their rear end and you kick it good and let them know you mean business. That's what you do.
It's scary.
All right. Charles, thank you.
You know why you're scared? Because you're a chicken.
1-800-449...
I really resent that.
1-800-449-8686. Have we lost the war to Al-Qaeda? My guest says yes. It's time to give them what they want. Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler is with me from the Win the Peace Political Action Group in the Bay Area. Mill Valley, correct, sir?
Excuse me?
Mill Valley?
Yes, that's where we're based.
Did you say that you gave up your Christianity as the result of Al-Qaeda's threats and murders?
Well, again, Mr. Hendry, I'm familiar with the way you've been conducting your program tonight.
Sir, just give me a yes or a no. I'm not here to try and indict you.
Well, the way you're conducting your program tonight is to indict me. I gave up my Christian faith because I saw a man's head on the end of what looked like the handle of a tiki torch. And I don't know about you, but that scared the hell out of me. Al-Qaeda doesn't want Christians around. They've already said it. Let the Christian faith be tested. If we send them, Robert Shuler can go over to Al-Qaeda land, and if his faith is strong, then the next time we see him, his head will be on his shoulders and not sitting on a fence someplace. And this is what I'm trying to say. Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing your fear, and you claim you speak for America.
Yes, I do, and I'm getting really tired of the saber-rattlers and warmongers like you that want to put us in the middle of a dangerous situation.
1-800, you know, I had a comment, sir. That,
well, Mr. Henry, feel free.
No, that's fine. 1-800-449-8686.
I say let the Christian faith be tested if it works. Send Robert Shuler over there. If he comes back with his head on a dish, then we'll know.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Tanya, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I just had a comment for Charles.
My name is Dean.
Dean, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You say you speak for America and you've lost your Christianity because of what the Al-Qaeda is doing.
Well, I mean, how can I remain Christian when those guys are Muslims and they've got a guy's head walking around with it on a popsicle stick?
Dean, you have to have your faith. Have to keep your faith strong in God.
All right,
because
let me ask
God
you.
Is going to come through.
Well, that's why I'm
Our
saying.
Our country is strong. You can't lose your...
That's why I'm saying if we could send Jan Crouch or Rexella Van Impey over there, if they're
and
Christian...
This is not... excuse me, I'm sorry. This is not Benny Hinn's fault.
No, I know it's not Mr. Hinn's fault, but I'm saying Benny Hinn is the whole... When they began broadcasting American Evangelist Television to the Middle East... One of they had literally the day after the Rexella Van Impey show, there were Shiites in the street trying to peel their own skin off.
This is not
as the result of Rexella who?
Rexella Van Impey. She is a prominent evangelist, and they took one look at her and they wanted to tear their eyeballs out. Now, if the Christian faith is strong, we can send Rexella over there, and she'll come back with. Nothing worse than perhaps a ruffled, you know, maybe her dress is askew. But if it isn't...
I'm sorry.
That is not because of the Christian faith. If something like this makes you lose your faith, what do you imagine it's going to be like in hell?
I don't believe in hell. I believe in relative...
Hell is there.
Well,
hell
ma'am,
is there.
I don't think you have any proof of that any more than I have proof that it doesn't exist. But
read the Bible.
The Bible is not proof. It is simply words. Now, Tanya, the Al-Qaeda may not have known a lot about the Christian faith if these evangelists had not been on TV. They have to take responsibility in a way. Why were you over there, you Christians, telling the Muslims to believe in Jesus when you knew they'd turned Benny Hinn's suit blood red?
Benny Hinn.
What is it with Benny Hinn? I mean,
what is it?
I'm using
Benny Hinn.
You're
the one that said you want Benny. You would rather see Benny Hinn's head on a stick.
No, ma'am, I did not say that.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh,
yes,
you did say that.
I don't recall.
That's why I called in.
What did I say?
You said it.
What did I say?
You would rather see Benny Hinn's head on a stick.
No, what I meant was, what would you? I was asking a rhetorical question. I asked the lady, what would you rather see, peace in our time or Benny Hinn's beautiful white suit turned tomato soup red by the blood from his...
Okay, we get the idea.
Right, I wouldn't sacrifice Benny Hinn to have peace.
Oh.
That's not our
choice.
Oh,
my God, are you kidding
me? That is not our decision.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
You wouldn't sacrifice Benny Hinn?
Well, you can't give up one man. You give up one man, you lose the world.
Oh, you heard that shitless
list,
you jackass.
God gave up one man already.
Well,
his son for our sins.
Well, I know you believe that. I know you believe all of that mumbo jumbo, but the fact is,
it's not mumbo jumbo.
Well, I practiced it, and what did it get me? I'm looking at a guy's head hanging off at the end of a popsicle stick.
Do you know the guy?
Who?
Who? The guy's head on a popsicle stick.
Ma'am, I would rather see Benny Hinn go over and take his chances with Al Qaeda than go to kiss my wife goodnight, and she's got no head on.
Well. You know
okay,
what?
So you think about that the next time you lean over to kiss your husband, and there's no head to kiss.
The guy's there.
Yeah, you are
that's
freaking
not your
out.
Wife. I mean, you're freaking out over this one guy. Why? I don't understand. You know?
Why is everything with you? Why, guy? What about why, guy? What school did you
why?
Go to? Yes, there you go. That's how you say the word. You're going why, guy.
I am from Tennessee. Okay.
Look up there. It's the sky. The ska is music from Jamaica. It's not what's over your head.
Will you knock it off with how the lady's talking? I'm talking to you, and she's talking to you about your insane proposal to send Rexella Van Impey over there. And if she keeps her head...
Well, Mr. Hendry, I'm telling you right now, one broadcast, the Jack Van Impey show over there on a Thursday night, there were Shiites in the street trying to have sex with goats.
And those people that don't need to be over there need to get their asses out and get back to America.
Why don't you go plow some cards?
All right, listen,
why don't you go pull you some Kleenex out and dry your damn eyes and be a man and stand up for God?
Do you want me to dry my eyes or my eyes?
All right, listen,
that's
Tanya,
all that you have to
that's
say.
That's right, exactly.
I mean, my
God. They always say the bigger the hair, the closer to God. And Jan Crouch, she might as well be St. Peter.
All right.
Yes, I am close to God.
Yeah, okay.
You got big hair?
All right, Tanya, thank you very much. Get out of here. One look at Rexella Van Impey and the Shiites were having sex with goats.
That's right, and you can say it's not true, but it is true. It is true. And this is a terrible time for America.
You know, Mr. Wheeler, when guys like you come on the air, you suddenly are the embodiment of everything that I fear about this country. Then we get calls from people who don't agree with you, and I feel better about life. When I had you and booked you on the show, I believed you when you said you represented the American people. You sound soft, you sound scared, and you sound like you're willing to bend over or give up your best friend.
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, but Rexella Van Impey is not my best friend, okay? I'm willing to give her up. We only spent one night together.
All right. That is Dean Wheeler on what's going on with Al-Qaeda. And, you know, Mr. Wheeler is not alone. There are millions of Americans tonight that feel exactly the way he feels. There are millions of Americans tonight that are acting exactly the way he's acting. Give them anything. Because, after all, we know that it's all George Bush, Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, the Illuminati's fault. 1-800-449-8686. What, sir?
I just hope, Mr. Hendry, I hope you enjoy going through a drive-thru and the attendant doesn't have a head when he gives you the burger.
Sir, you know, get him back on the air. Sir, I think...
Mr. Hendry, are you a father?
Yes, I am.
I have a 4-year-old daughter. Okay. I have a 4-year-old...
Sir, I've got 4 children, and yes, of course I care about them.
All right, I don't want to take my daughter to the public park one day, put her on the swing, turn around to get a refreshment, and when I return, there she is in a Garanimal jumper with no head.
In a Garanimal jumper. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass, plug into the world. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, Bingo.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I just, I love your show, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the heading. And,
now, where are you at, man? Are you at the Morongo Casino right now?
I'm over at Chumash, in your casino right now, but I wanted to talk a little bit about what you were talking about, with the gentleman as it pertains to the beheading of the man.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to understand that it's not, it is not necessarily fatal within the first few minutes. I called your show, maybe you remember me. I told you that there have been experiments done.
Oh, yeah, I heard you. You called up and said that they did an experiment where the guy cut his head, his guy's head was cut off, and then the guy said, if I'm still alive, I'll blink my eyes.
Yeah, that happened. And I have also conducted a few experiments along these ways. I'm a mechanical physics professor at Caltech.
And what is your name, sir?
My name is Jeff Dowder, sir.
Okay.
And just so you know, the head does stay alive. Now, I'm not saying the case of Mr. Johnson or Mr. Bird or anybody that is the case, but about
It's going on about 7 hours ago. I was beheaded, and I wanted to weigh in on it.
What do you mean 7 hours ago you were beheaded?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean?
One of my colleagues and I, we were up in the hotel room, because right now I'm down at the blackjack table, but we were in the hotel room, and I said, okay, and yes, okay, you're right, we were drinking from the mini bar, but I had a bet with him. I said, go ahead, and he went downstairs to, they have the engineering department, the hotel gave us a skill saw, and I said, go ahead, cut my, you know, and he skill sawed my head off. So, I'm talking to you, and...
Get out of here! What do you mean he skill sawed your head off, and you're at the blackjack table?
Okay, forget it.
What? Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'd like to call and tell you about the idea of beheadings. That dude calls every time he calls, too. It's got something to do with having his head cut off. Wait a minute, now what do you want?
Well, wait, I gotta be careful when I tell the dealer to push, and he doesn't want to push my head off.
1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray was on our show yesterday, and she was blathering on about something. Let's listen to see what Margaret was talking about. It's a Margaret Gray moment on this classic Comedy Gold.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I'm going to make a comment, dear. I am 47 years old.
Yeah.
I have worked in GM for 29 and a half years. I'm an electrician.
Yes.
Meaning that I wear men gear every day. I wear the man stuff. You know what you're talking about? I have to put it on every day. And you know I can't wait to go somewhere and put on the feminine stuff to feel like a woman. I said, God made me what I am. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. You got to be comfortable in your own skin, dear.
Well, it is true, Loretta, but it's also true that we've been able to transcend the essential creation of God and cure diseases, for instance. And I'm simply saying that being a woman is a disease that we can cure and become full partners, full people.
It's a disease?
Being female is a disease?
Yes.
Is a disease?
Of course it is. Look at how you've been treated. And you, if I may say, are you African-American?
Beg your pardon?
Are you African-American as well, dear?
Yes, I am.
All right. As an African-American female, you have been treated worse than any of us. And I think, Loretta, when the day comes that you and I can stand side by side at a urinal saying...
Oh, come on!
Dear, I'm in men's bathrooms all the time. I got to go in there and tie it up. You know, I go in the bathroom, I say, woman coming in. I don't say man. I say, woman coming in bathroom. Meaning, get your ass out or you can stand there. They can with me. Don't phone to me. I don't feel inferior to have to pull it out and go, you know. Because we own sex, baby. Men don't own it. We the one who tell them when they can have and they can't have.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
Do you know the power that a woman has? We the one who has. I mean, I say women's more inferior than men because we need each other.
The power.
Women has a certain control, has a certain amount of power.
Well, men have asked us to believe that, yes, but I say the power of sliding on a pair of tight briefs and looking at yourself.
Oh, come on, will you? I mean, the lady just made a very good case, a strong case, for women and the power they had.
Look, Loretta, I had lunch with Jennifer Aniston and Rebecca Ramon and Joan Collins. You know what? They simply said, they grabbed themselves and said,
yeah.
I think...
No, they didn't.
You're giving me bad examples, and you're talking about Hollywood. We already know what Hollywood represents. If that's all you can give me, because see, real women are women like myself, who are out here working every day, who are taking care of themselves, who ain't looking for a man to take care of me. I'm looking for a good man so we can put something together. I ain't looking for one to take care of, and I ain't looking for one to take care of me. But like I said, I'm comfortable in my own body. I don't need to have a man complete me. I am complete by myself. But if I find someone that I can be with, then we can share together. It ain't about me trying to be equal. Women ain't got no business being equal. God didn't mean for us to be equal.
That's
if
fantastic.
If we were equal, then why don't men have children?
That's
do
great.
Do you know
Loretta.
How mad the population would be if a man gave birth? Give
Loretta,
me a break,
that's
man.
Fantastic, Loretta. Margaret,
give
your,
me a break.
Your response, Margaret.
Loretta, you're very passionate, and we need females like you in our movement. But I just want to say one thing. A very, very wonderful woman by the name of Coco Chanel lay on her deathbed. She invented, as you know, the perfume. And Coco said to me, do you know how empowering it would be to stagger out of a car the same way a man does on a Friday night, drunk as a skunk, and be able to go ahead and write your name in the dirt? And I said, Coco,
you know what?
And then she died.
You have penis-itis. That's what you have. You're the one who envy a man's penis. I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, B. Arthur doesn't agree with you.
Okay, wait a hold on, hold on. Yeah, hey, Loretta. Yeah, Loretta, so far what we've had here, B. Arthur, Coco Chanel...
Yes.
Barbara Streisand, Meg Ryan, Andy Garcia, and Tim McGraw all support your big cause.
Yes.
Loretta, darling, you are a strong...
I'm not impressed, dear.
You're a strong... We need you so badly.
These people don't mean nothing to me because, like I told you, the real women are the one that you're talking to. I am a real... I'm not saying they're not real women, but they're Hollywood. And Hollywood would do anything.
All right. If you don't think they don't mean to you, then what about Star Jones? She's on board.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, give me a break. I bet if I talk to Star Jones, she called you a liar. Give me a break. You probably misinterpreted what Miss Star Jones
Wait a second. Star Jones said to me, whatever it is you're doing, I'm all in favor of it. She was very drunk, but in Meryl Streep...
Get rid of her.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Here's Margaret. Yeah, she was on saying that women will never really have full equality until they have physical equality, and transgender reassignment surgery is so... advanced these days that you can be a woman and still have a man's equipment. Star Jones is on board. And so is, who was it? B. Arthur and who? Oh, Coco Chanel on her deathbed. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if it's a worth it, man. I don't think it's worth it. I don't dig it. I don't dig none of it. I'm going to tell all you white people something. You listen to me real good. I'm giving you all this comedy for free. One day, Whitey, going to be payback. Oh, yeah. Now, Phil going to be back. Don't you go anywhere. All right.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bernie, you've been spending a lot of time with your daughter?
I have, Phil. Linda was in the hospital for surgery on her leg, so I've enjoyed and I've welcomed the time I've had with Brittany, yes.
How old is she?
She's 11, and, you know, at the age of 11, certainly they're getting up there. They're no longer, or soon will no longer be little girls. The thing about the slumber party that I was telling you, I saw it as an opportunity to kind of hang out with my daughter. make ice cream and rent some videos, eat some popcorn, listen to the girls tell stories.
All right, you're hanging out with a little girl. Did they want you there at the slumber party? Your daughter had the slumber party. Did the girls want you there?
Well, I said, well, why don't you make me an honorary girl for the night or something like that? And the reason why I said that, Phil, is it lets me bond with my daughter a little bit, and it helps me keep an eye on the kids. And frankly, Linda goes to sleep early because of the pain medication, so there wasn't much for me to do. So I said to the girls, make me an honorary girl, and I wanted bond with the kids. And,
well, how did the kids take it? Did they want you to be an honorary girl?
Well, you know what's great about kids, Phil? They're very resilient, and they adapt, and I clowned around. I said, let's play dress up, and let's put on makeup, because the other thing is, as a man, we get so removed from our feminine side, that side of us that is perhaps a little bit more sensitive. So this is a chance to do that. And
so you're at your daughter's slumber party, and you're doing dress-up, and you're putting on makeup, and the girls are all right with this, huh?
For the most part, yeah. There was one little girl that started to cry, and she wanted to go home, but it was too late to call her parents, and she seemed to be all right. I mean, once we all did dress-up and we put on the makeup... And then we did kind of a fashion show. I put on one of Linda's, she's got a, I don't know what you call a floor-length nightgown. And we put on our high heels, and we had fun. And what this does, so you understand, you bond with your daughter, and you get in touch with the inner child. And you get in touch with the feminine side, and it's something a lot of men should do.
Let me ask you, what time of night was this?
Well, what time of night was the slumber party? Or...
Well, what time of night was it when you're doing this fashion show and all this stuff?
It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
So, were you comfortable?
Well, if you ask me what I think you're...
Well, I just want to get your feeling about the appropriateness of this.
Let me explain something to you. Because one of the girl's fathers alluded to the same thing. He came to pick up, one of these guys came to pick up his daughter on Sunday morning, and I don't know, it was around 9:30. I just made the girls breakfast, and I answered the door.
And were you still dressed in the nightgown? I mean,
I'd slept on the couch, and I hadn't changed, but that's not the point. The point is, this guy comes to get his daughter, and he says to me, "Why are you dressed like that?" Now, let me explain something to you, and to any man out there that doesn't understand. I see guys like this coming a mile away, and I told him, I said to him, "Are you calling me a fag? Excuse my language." And so he repeats the question. He says, "Why are you dressed like that?" And that's like answering the question, yes, so he called me a fag.
And he's asking you why you're dressed like, you got to understand something. You're talking about at a slumber party.
After he asked the question, "Why are you dressed like that?" the second time, I said, "I'll tell you what, you can get the hell off my property and I'll drive your daughter home later."
But what I'm saying, Vernon, is when you come to the door dressed in a woman's nightgown, and I understand that you're doing dress up and you're playing with the girls, but it looked shocking to him.
I was taking care of my daughter, playing with her and her friends. This guy gave me a look. Now, it would be one thing if he said, if he laughed, but he gave me a look like I was some kind of a freak. And I said to him, "I tell you what you can do. You get the hell off my property, and I'll drive your daughter home later."
And so that's the L.A. sheriff, and you were arrested for kidnapping, right?
Yeah. Can you believe that? This guy calls me a fag, which is a hate crime, if I were a gay. But he calls the cops on me.
All right, hold on. We'll get our phone number out. It's 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, and by the way, you're an educator, yes, sir?
Yes, I am, Phil.
A high school teacher, and you had a slumber party for your daughter. Your wife was home, right?
Yeah, Linda was, yes. All these questions are unnecessary.
For you, knowing how people think, your wife was home?
Yes, Linda was asleep upstairs. She'd had surgery on her leg. She'd had a varicose vein surgery on her leg.
Okay. So you're home with your daughter. The daughter is having a slumber party, and you got into dress-up mode with the girls. It's just, to me, a man dressing up as a girl, you know?
Well, again, you're alluding to something that I don't like. And
I'm not trying to get into a fight here with you.
No, well, then if you don't want to get in a fight with me, I always tell people it's real easy to be my friend, okay? Don't start talking some smack on me, okay?
I'm not talking smack. I'm saying you got into a negligee, high heels, and you put on lipstick because you were playing dress-up with the girls.
Yes.
The father comes to the door the next day, and you're still dressed like that?
If you're trying to tell me that I'm supposed to run upstairs and get dressed differently for this guy who's going to...
Did you anticipate that he might ask the question?
That man, no. Look, at the guy that asked me, "Why are you dressed like that?" Our daughters go to the same school. He's seen me at PTA meetings. You know, this guy is inferring that I'm some kind of a queer. Okay? And I said to him, "Well, I'll tell you what you can do then. You see where you're standing? You see where the curb is? I'd suggest you go from there to there as fast as you can, and you and I can pretend like we never had this conversation."
So he went to his car and he called the police.
He calls me a fag and he calls the police. That's a hate crime.
Well, the record, sir, shows that he didn't really call you a name. He just said, "Why are you dressed like that?"
Well, the inference is very, very clear. Let me tell you something about bonding with young people.
Now, can I ask you one more thing?
Well, no, I'm going to finish my point here. Bonding with a young daughter is not the same as bonding with a boy. You play baseball with a boy, correct?
Yeah.
When you bond with your daughter, one of the reasons why fathers and daughters drift apart is because we don't bond in the way the girls want to. I play catch with my son. I play football with my son. With my daughter, I do the things she likes to do. We dress up and make up. We put on clothes. Doesn't make me a transvestite. Doesn't make me some queer. It means that and why do I have to get out of a nightgown to answer the door for some guy who is going to be stupid when my daughter understands?
Now, you said that one of the girls cried.
Yeah, one of the girls at the party was upset, and I explained to her, "I'm just doing dress up." And
did she ask to go home?
She said she wanted to go home, but I couldn't take her home. It was too late to call her parents.
Well, she was obviously upset that you were dressed in women's clothing with makeup and everything. Is that correct?
Once we did the dress up and we put on the makeup, then we did a fashion show, and she was fine. I put on one of Linda's nightgowns, and we had a blast. So,
I don't know. If my daughter was at a sleepover and she's crying and she wants to go home, I would hope that you'd call me.
I did not want to bother the family. The father should have known damn well we were playing dress-up. He asked on purpose just to make me angry.
Which father is that?
That's the one who picked up the kid the next day.
So I wouldn't think that.
You wouldn't think that...
I wouldn't think that if my daughter's having a sleepover or a slumber party with a friend, that the father at that house is going to be dressing up in girls' clothes and stuff with the girls. And if you're telling me that everything is cool, then I believe you that everything is cool. But to tell a... Just to think that a guy...
I can tell the way some guys look at you. Some guys are waiting to get into it. Okay? I've got my eye out, my antenna up for these guys. They want to start something. And I'm ready to rock and roll at the drop of the hat. Now, I gave that guy two chances. He says to me, why are you dressed like that? I said, oh. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, why are you dressed like that? So then I said, okay, you, my property, hell, you get the. All right, put it all together, and what do you got? You get the hell off my property. All right.
Well, the police came because the man claimed you were kidnapping his daughter.
I wasn't kidnapping his GD daughter. I was going to take her home after she ate her blessed waffles.
Put him on hold. 1-800-449-8686. Well, my daughter's had sleepovers, and the last thing I want to do is get involved and play dress-up. I mean, my wife can handle all of that. What I do is I go drink. I get good and hammered. So when the girls come running through the house going, hi, Mr. Hendry, I go, how are you? And that's the extent of the communication I have with them. 1-800-449-8686. In all seriousness, I don't suspect this man of having done anything wrong, but he was offended when one of the fathers who came to pick his daughter up asked him, why are you dressed in a nightgown and high heels and makeup? He feels the guy was inferring that he's some kind of a, quote, you know, fruit, end quote. So he told the guy to get off his property. The guy called the cops. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know what's wrong with the guy. Maybe nothing's wrong with the guy. Maybe it's me. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell has any grandchildren? Have you seen them
lately? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Very good time.
Okay, I'm on the line with Mr. Vernon Doge. He's an educator. I just want to ask if the slumber party that your daughter had, and I understand the kids have slumber parties, but you dressed up as a girl or you got into a fashion show, was that it?
Let me start all over again because I guess you didn't get to just what I'm trying to say.
No, I understood what you're saying. You wanted to bond with your daughter and you wanted to hang out with the girls, and so you said, make me an honorary girl.
Yeah, I said, make me an honorary girl, let's do dress-up and everything like that.
Now, you said one of the girls cried. Can you tell me why she cried?
I'll tell you why a lot of these kids cry. They are raised in homes that are traditional homes. The father is the father's a tight ass. The mother is one of these pent-up, you know, kind of women. And there's no real, I guess you'd say there's just no real, you know, kind of different thing. So when you come into a home and the father is kind of a fun guy, and the little kid's going to cry about it because her parents are such a couple of tight asses, you know, they don't.
So did she cry when she saw you dress up with makeup and a negligee?
She cried when I put on, yeah, she was fine until I put on the heels and we started the fashion show, and then she started to cry.
Now, you say that she wanted to go home.
Yeah, I've talked to you about that already.
Well, why didn't you let her call her father? You said it was...
I already told you it was too late. Let me explain something. When a kid's doing a sleepover at your house, and the kid cries and comes to you and says, I want to go home, basically what that kid is saying is, I'm not having a good time. Now, what that is essentially saying is, I don't like it here at your house. Now, that's an insult. Call it what you want, but that's an insult. And so my response to that is, well, you may be a kid, but you got some pair on you to come to me and say you're not having a good time at my house. Now, you're here for a sleepover, and by sweet Jesus laying in the crypt, you're going to stay for a sleepover. And I showed the girls how to do it.
Well, that's just wrong, man. I mean, if she wants to go home...
She's a kid. What does she know? She's a kid. You got to show them how to have a good time.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Dorian. Go ahead, Dorian, on the Phil Henry Show. This is Mr. Vernon Dozier.
Hey, how you doing, Vernon? I really like your show.
Thank you.
And basically what I'm saying in a nutshell is I understand that he's having some fun and trying to connect with his daughter and everything. But the thing about it, you don't do that with children there. You do that on your private time.
Were you even listening to what I was saying? Or what are you doing? You playing mumbly peg? Huh? You listen to me?
Don't talk to him like that.
No, he wasn't even listening to what the hell I was saying.
Pretty much I was listening.
No, you weren't listening. You weren't listening.
That
thing I said I was having a fashion show with my daughter.
And basically in prancing around in front of other little girls.
With my daughter.
What you do with your private time with your children, how you fall with your children.
It was a fashion show.
Well, the man saying you did this with
other people, kids.
In front of other
kids. Hey, man, that's some pedophile stuff.
In front of other.
That would make me really scared of you.
All right, hold on, Dorian. He said it's in front of other people's kids.
Hey. They came to my house for a sleepover. I'm not at their house. And when you come to my house for a sleepover, there's an old saying, Dorian, when you're in Rome, you do what the Romans do. Now, I was trying to bond with my daughter. I showed the girls how to do a fashion show. I taught them how to work the ramp and all the things that they do in the fashion world. And the little girl who wanted to go home didn't do a spin turn. And I told her she looked like like she had multiple... What do you call it? Muscular dystrophy. I made a joke.
I'm on a serious tip. I would be like the father and call the police on you because you would scare me. Because, first of all, he wasn't being insulting. He was just asking you, why are you dressed like this?
Right.
Explain myself. You took it offensively. Being offensive means you're doing something wrong.
You understand, Mr. Dozier?
No, I don't understand what either one of you got. What both of you gentlemen are inferring is I'm some kind of a gay boy. That's what you're inferring.
No, I'm not inferring that you're gay. The man was just acting like any normal father is. If I knock at your door and see you in makeup and a dress, and I'm asking for my daughter, first thing I'm going to be like, what's so really going on? There's some real freaky stuff.
All right, what if I explain to you? All right,
what is going on?
Okay, let me tell you, what if I explain to you? Dorian, I don't know what your last name is, sir. I'd say, sir, we were having a fashion show, and I was playing dress up with the girls, and your daughter cried because she didn't do a spin turn, which is a basic fashion show move, and I said, you look like, you know, you've got some kind of a crippling disease, and she cried. Now, what would you say to me then? I mean, I got to go through that.
I understand that. I understand that because of the plain fact is, if you explain to me what's going on, you had a fashion show, your wife was in the bed and she's asleep, and you're trying to entertain the kids, yes, that's understandable. But when you just come to the door and I'm asking you what's going on, you say I need to get off your property or you're going to do. Yeah, I'm going to call my cops. I'm going to get my child away from you as quickly as possible.
I think that's wrong with you. That's where you made your mistake, Mr. Dozier. I don't think that, although I will, for me, if you ask me that question, I'd say, what do you mean calling my kid like she's got muscular dystrophy because she didn't do a spin turn?
Look, in the fashion world, there's three basic ramp moves. There's a spin.
I don't want to know about the fashion show world. I'm just saying, you called my kid like she's got Lou Gehrig's disease or something because she didn't do a pivot at the end of the ramp properly.
Dorian. Can I ask you a question, sir? Dorian?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, and you probably will say no, have you ever strutted down a runway?
No, I have not had the privilege of strutting down a runway,
all right.
Sir.
Well, sir, there are male models, so it's not such an insulting question.
I understand there's male models, there are female models. Hell, there's transsexual models.
Well,
the point of the fact is,
there you go. Now you're calling me queer again.
I'm just going to say, it would have been scary to me if I'm asking you a question and you inferring gayness. I didn't think.
Well, I know that, but the way this guy...
I'm coming and knocking at this man's door.
I understand
that. And he got a dress on.
Well, sir.
Makeup. What the hell going on?
Right.
That's all I want to know.
You know what? You sound like a nice guy, but this guy, I know this guy from the school, okay? He's got a problem with everybody. And the way he asked the question, he might as well have been asking me, so are you a drum major at the gay pride parade? I mean, he might as well have just been saying that.
All right, if you got a personal axe to grind with his father, then maybe in the presence of the kids, you would, you know, like maybe chill it out a little bit.
What is this all of a sudden? What am I sitting here at a detention age? Chill it out.
I'm part of the five sisters. Yes, you got to connect with your little girl. You got to connect.
Have you ever done a fashion show with your daughter?
Son.
Have you ever put on women's makeup?
The fact is this, sir. When you're out there just doing things that's scary to people, in a time where there's so many pedophiles, in a time
that's
where
true.
Kids are getting Amber Alerts left and right, when you see a grown man in his dress and some makeup back and walk,
there you go. Now you're calling me
real
back.
Fruity stuff.
There you go.
No,
fruity. There you go. You just called me
back. I get away from you unless you explain.
Look,
to me
she doesn't know how to work the clothes. It made me angry. She didn't know how to work the clothes. I had just been reading to them from Vogue magazine.
Well, yeah, I thank you very much, Dorian. What do you mean, work the clothes?
Let me give an example, if I could. The gentleman at your radio station, I forget his name.
Who?
The gentleman who I have asked to put some music on.
Mark?
Yeah. I want to show you, Phil, how you... It's fun. I mean, you want to call me some kind of gay bait, some kind of a puffer. You know, I'll put you down. I mean, I'll lay you out. But I enjoy showing the girls... All right, we move down the... See? Now, you can't see me, but I'm moving very delicately. And then I turn, kick my leg out straight, and then I walk back down the runway.
What are you wearing?
Hold on, kill the music. You calling me queer?
No, I swear to God I'm not, man. I just...
All right, you know what? You can go and rot where those Arabs are right now to kill that guy, because they're turning on a spit, you two.
Hello? Oh, what the hell, man? I wanted to hear... I wanted to hear what the cat's wearing. Yeah? Never mind. He's off the air. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Mr. Dozier, honest to God, I did not mean to insult you or to embarrass you. I just wanted you to tell me, you say you had a fashion, you know, you were playing dress up with your daughter and her friends, and you taught them how to do a fashion show, right? Well, I've seemed to have lost connection with him. I wonder why that was. We'll try to get him back on the line, but I certainly in no way wanted to insult him. He thought that I was calling him, quote, gay, and that was not the case at all. I simply was saying to him, when you say you're doing dress-up with girls, I mean your daughter's friends, they're 11-year-old girls, and you're a guy, is he back? Mr. Dozier? No? I'm having a hard time talking.
I'm right here, Phil.
Okay.
What did you want
to
ask me?
I didn't mean to... insult you, and I apologize.
Well, if you're serious.
I am.
All right. I
mean, and would you please demonstrate again the fashion show moves that you were teaching the girls?
You're just going to laugh at me?
No, I'm not going to laugh.
Well, I have if Mark has the music.
Yeah, Mark, go ahead, play it again.
All right. Let's say, for instance, I'm wearing a Halston or something, something loose, something light, because it's getting very hot. And by the way, kill the music. You don't think I'm a cross-dresser or a fag, right?
No, I do not.
Why did I hear kind of a laugh in your voice?
I don't, honest.
Because I'm neither.
Okay.
I was playing dress-up with my daughter and her friends.
I understand that.
Anyway, go ahead, hit it, Mark. Now, you move very delicately, do a little bit of a flutter kick. Now, what that is, I lift up my right leg and just kind of flutter it at the judges. Then I do a little spin. I lay out and I show the blouse. Purse my lips, squint my eyes, spin and turn. Now I do what's called working the pants.
What's that?
Okay, you laughed. All right, I just heard you laugh.
No, I swear to God.
You piece of...
He hung up again.
Look at dude, you can't lay a phrase out there like "now I work the pants" and not have me at least titter a bit. Forget it. Vernon Dozier, a real sick animal. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hey, our website is not just a place to go and get great audio from our show, it's also a place to go and get great souvenirs, things that you can buy, things that you can keep, things that you can make a part of your home from the Phil Hendry Show. Now, of course, we have our classic archives, our comedy archives, but when you go to our souvenir shop, you can pick up, these are functional things, too. For instance, I got him the unique 16-can cooler with a built-in AM-FM radio. I got an idea. Get him a card, get him a tie, and here, a little promissory note for one 16-can Phil Hendry Show cooler. How about this? You can send Dad the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, either the original Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt or the bowling shirt that celebrates the opening of the Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu restaurant, which is a beautiful kind of a... I don't even want to describe the color because if I give it the wrong description, people won't dig it. It's really a beautiful, beautiful color. It's a green, but it's like not green. It's a cool-looking green. And, of course, the regular classic black and royal blue Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. We also have shot glasses from Ted's, shot glasses that feature the Phil Hendry Show logo. We've got coasters. We have the Jay Sato Citizens Auxiliary Police belt watch. We have the Citizens Auxiliary Police Flexit Fit cap. We have jackets from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And if Dad likes to, shall we say, work the pants... I'm kidding. No, but we do have Western Estates Teddy, what's her name? Bobby Dooley, Western Estates spa robes, and the very nice tote bag. This stuff is high-quality merchandise. It is not cheesy. It isn't some, you know, like the logos rub off and 30 days of dishwashing. No, this is a beautiful thing. What? What do you want, sir?
Well, you're selling a pretty green shirt, and you call me a fag. I hope you...
Look at Buddy... Yeah?
And don't play that music without me saying it. Okay, now I bend over, I jump up, and I say surprise, and I...
Anyway, if you go to the website, you can see it all there in our souvenir shop, www.philhendryshow.com. That's www.philhendryshow.com. And you can pick up a Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 double CD. It's a double CD for $20. It's the best buy in comedy. Honest to God, I mean, there's like... 140 minutes of solid classic stuff, and it's $20, and the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. That's called The Death of Talk Radio, and it's available online. Now, coming up, we'll take a perusal of the news, talk a little bit about Larry Bird opening his big fat mouth, and all of these so-called poor athletes that are ambushed by the ambushed journalists. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, tough day, tough day. We tried our best to make you laugh. We tried our best to make you cry. We tried our best to entertain you. It's been a tough news day. Toughest part of the day for me. Actually, this has been just a very tough period because I find myself getting more and more emotionally involved in the stories that I'm talking about and the stories that I'm commenting on. And it's growing ever thinner, the line separating me between, it's separating me from, you know, entertainer. I mean, Phil Hendry comes on the air and I am myself, but I am also a performer. I play a character on the show. Okay, this is not the first time I've talked about this. I play a character on this show. You want to get to know the real Phil? Well, you get flashes of him on this program. I mean, I tell you how I really feel, but were I sitting around talking with friends, there'd probably be a few more four-letter words thrown in, a couple of belches, some crude references to a variety of topics. You know, the way you guys talk, in other words, with your friends. But the point is, it's been very difficult
period, because I find myself getting angry at the things I see in the news. And I do. I'm an angry guy. I get angry. And I get my buttons pushed. But I'm slowly resigning myself to something. Today, I thought perhaps I would see real outrage from the American people. What happened to Paul Johnson? Nothing. Not a thing. Not a thing. I remember like 3 years ago, I said, maybe we're not up to it. Maybe this generation is not up to it. And I said it never, ever believing that the possibility could exist, that this generation of Americans are really just not up to anything more than counting their money. But it's possible. And somebody called me on the carpet for bringing it up on the air here at work. One of my bosses, quote unquote, said, how could you say that about the people that listen to your show? Well, I'm just saying about it. You know, I mean, it's a generation of Americans talking about the way this country exists today. It's difficult to believe that there's not a peep out of people today. The only thing I did here, some guy said, I never considered myself a racist, but now I hate Arabs. And I'm thinking, that's it? Some idiot who doesn't get it? Who's now like a race hater? It could be that we're an undereducated generation. It could be that we're overindulged. It could be that we are, as I've often said about the baby boomers, you know, our brains have been marinating in cocaine and marijuana for so long, and with a little bit of splash of gin thrown in every now and again, and some tequila, that we don't know reality when it smacks us right in the face. But we will move on from this day, another American butchered up like a steer, and we do nothing. We sit on our hands and we do nothing. We've got a president that's trying to rally us to get tough with these people, but we're not. We don't want to do that, man. We want to elect John Kerry and pretend like it all didn't happen. I'm really bad at making predictions, but this one I will bet money on. John Kerry becomes president of the United States, he's not going to change a thing. He's going to stay in Iraq and he's going to just keep on doing the stuff that's good. And then people say it's his fault, I guess. Or maybe they'll keep on blaming Bush. I don't know. So it's been kind of tough these last few days trying to do a quote-unquote comedy show. But we're going to keep on regardless. And at the same time, talk about the things that are pissing us off, whether or not people like it. And the things that make me mad these days are things that make me really mad. So I, you know, it's like I say, I have a hard time kind of separating out the entertainment material from the commentary material from the Phil needs to go and kill something material. Like Phil needs to go and strangle puppies or something bad, something real bad's going to happen, man. In other news, since the Paul Johnson thing hasn't motivated anybody, in other news, other than his family, they're probably in shock too. You know, his family was gracious enough to say, we understand the United States and the Saudi Arabian governments did the very best they could in a very difficult situation. The thing that's stunning those people today is just the utter lack of feeling coming from the country about this, other than people saying, we're really sorry and we hope that you know, can survive. But there's nobody getting angry, man. Anyway, so I thought I would bring up Larry Bird, because I happen to like Larry Bird a lot, but he made a comment. When he was asked a question, he said, well, maybe we need more white players in the NBA. And, of course, everyone, racist, which I don't know where they got that from. Just the guy says we need more white players is a comment that fans, the predominantly white fans of the NBA, need to see white players on the floor. So I don't think that was a particularly dumb thing to say. But there's been a comment lately that athletes shouldn't be ambushed like that. Like, it's not fair to John Rocker to ask him a tough question, you know. It's not fair to Kobe Bryant or to these other athletes that have supposedly been ambushed by journalists. There were some really great examples of this. For instance, you know, John Rocker was one. Isaiah Thomas, Bill Parcells, they've all said dumb things. Al Campanis said something stupid. Fuzzy Zeller's an idiot, and so is Jimmy the Greek. I mean, Jimmy the Greek said, you know, the big black kid thing, and Fuzzy Zeller, he said that Tiger was going to eat watermelon, and Jack Nicklaus is, I don't know what the hell he said, and Al Campanis said black people can't swim and can't manage baseball teams, and Bill Parcells. And it's unfortunately an example of some people think of sports journalism's ambush style. Now, here's my question. Why shouldn't they be ambushed? Why can't they be asked regular questions like anybody else? What's the matter? Are they idiots? Well, of course they are, but that's just too bad. You know, when you're standing in front of news cameras and microphones for the number of years that, for instance, a Bill Parcells has, or any of these guys that I just mentioned, by now you ought to be used to the game. You ought to know what to expect. These guys also have PR people that can help them with a lot of these questions. Here's an example. Bill Parcells, who is he currently head coaching? The Dallas Cowboys. I don't know where the hell. What was it that he said? Well, I thought I could find it. I thought there was a comment that he made having to do, I don't know, with some quote, I got a lot of great monkeys on this team. No, I'm just kidding about that. Here's the quote. Yes, Bill Parcells said, you know what? I got a lot of great ball players. Too bad they're black. That's it. And, of course, he was kidding. Now, Fuzzy Zeller said, what's that? Tiger Woods won the Masters? So what are we having at the traditional Masters meal? Watermelon and fried chicken? Ha 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 ha. Isaiah Thomas said, white people other than white women, I can do without. Al Campana said, so, you know, it's like, well, why would you put those guys in that? I don't know. I'm just kidding about what Isaiah Thomas said. I don't know what the hell he said. I'm sorry. I thought maybe one of my fine young minions in there can look it up. But the Fuzzy Zeller quote is correct. The Jimmy the Greek quote is correct. Al Campana said that they couldn't, you know, blacks can't swim because they're too heavy. And John Rocker, of course, said something about queers with AIDS on a subway. You know, John Rocker is one of those people who, I don't even know that what he said was particularly vicious, other than it just reflected a sort of white trash upbringing, which is, you know, who this guy is. He's a big dumb idiot, but he plays ball, okay? And so therefore he's in the public eye, and so therefore people are going to ask him questions. Now here's my question. Why do these guys get treated different from anybody else? Stick a microphone in that dumbass's face, ask him a question. He says something dumb, he's going to have to live or die with it. Hey, don't ask the ballplayers any questions. They're stupid imbeciles. Okay. What should I ask them about? Now, how do you throw a split-finger fastball again, John? Oh, my God. You don't know the number of guys we try to get on the show to interview them. The latest was that guy Maurice Cheeks is the coach of the Portland Trailblazers. You know, the Trailblazers. I don't see there's much wrong with the Trailblazers other than the fact that I think, well, they do have a marijuana problem on that team. But at least they ain't, like, running around with guns. They're not fathering out-of-wedlock children. Sure, they take a taste every now and again. Drunk driving's bad, okay? Possession of weed, yes, it is against the law. And if you are the DARE team for the Portland area, yeah, it's... But at least he ain't Warren Sapp or the rest of those scumbags. Jimmy the Greek is an idiot, but Jimmy the Greek is not an idiot when it comes to odds making and analysis of football games. So they had him on a CBS show. He said that the reason why we got big black football players is because of the breeding of blacks back in the Civil War. Did it reflect racism, or did it reflect the misunderstanding of eugenics, or I should say a belief in eugenics, which is a discredited, non-existent, non-science? Or was it just a dumbass talking about what he thinks makes people the way they are, and he's so completely wrong? But is it racist? Well, I don't know. But one thing's for sure, I'm not going to stop asking him questions just because somebody from CBS says to me, by the way, Jimmy's is a complete imbecile. Please don't ask him any questions. Well, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to ask this guy a question, that guy a question, Bush a question, Rumsfeld a question, Connie Chung a question, any of these people. And if one of these guys happens to be some athlete that's got about 2 cents worth of brains between his ears, I'm going to ask him questions too. And if he winds up sounding stupid, good luck. Thanks, Chris. Following Parcells' news briefing where he used the term Jap at the Cowboys minicamp last Monday, reporters contacted John Taishi, executive director of the Japanese American Citizens League, and asked him for his reaction. Taishi said, who cares? End quote. Well, he made a racial remark
Parcells stirred up the initial controversy during a 45-minute Monday session with reporters when he referred to Japan's 1941 surprise attack on Pearl Harbor and used the racial expletive Jap while talking about quarterbacks coach Sean Payton and defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer. Mike wants the defense to do well, and Sean, he's going to have a few no respect for the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays. Surprise thing. What's wrong with that? He's talking about the Japs at Pearl Harbor. That was the enemy, the Japs. We're not talking about Japanese Americans or Japanese. The enemy was called the Jap. The militarist Tojo enemy was the Japs. Just like the Krauts. Trying to tell me if the guy said Kraut? You can't say that? Just like Raghead and just like Gook. It's not a reference to the people of that country. It's a reference to the enemy soldier. Come on, Chris, you Jap. Let's go have a drink.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil.